Time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're glad you are here to attend this class session. I'd encourage you to get your Bibles and go turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to continue the study in Nehemiah with the time when he stood in the pulpit and read to them the law of God and taught them the meaning of the law, the children of Israel. And so we're going to read this, or we're going to study this anyway, from Nehemiah chapter 8. And in a few minutes, we're going to begin with verse 8. This is a continuation of a study that we started in an earlier class. And this is class period 106 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. Now, while you're getting your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 8, let me remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're studying the Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam. And this particular Sunday school lesson was written for the Sunday of September the 10th, 1922. And it's about the teaching of the law of God. Now, if you have your Bibles, you'll want to follow along, and I'll give the verse and then read Elam's comments on that passage as we proceed through this lesson. So look at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. Elam writes as follows, "And they read the book, and they read in the book the law of God distinctly." It means not only the people could hear the words read, but as the margin says, with an interpretation. This is explained as follows, "And they gave the sense, so that they," that's the people, "understood the reading. The Israelites, having been lately brought out of Babylonian captivity, in which they had continued 70 years, according to the prediction of Jeremiah," in Jeremiah chapter 25:11, "were not only extremely corrupt, but it appears they had in general lost the knowledge of the ancient Hebrew to such a degree that when the book of the law was read, they did not understand it. But certain Levites stood by and gave the sense." That is, they translated it into the Chaldean dialect. That is from Clark's commentary. This was doubtless true of those born in the captivity. Many had also forgotten the commandments and ordinance of God, and the manner of observing these ordinances. Hence the meaning of such had to be explained. This does not show by any means that people cannot now read for themselves and understand the Word of God. It has already been translated into our own language, and we may read it with understanding and obey it. There's no reason to simply depend upon the preacher and what the preacher says when you have the book at your side and in your lap, and you can look it up and read it for yourselves. And all should be encouraged to have their own knowledge of the Scriptures from the words itself, and not simply as it explained by other men. Other men may help us through some rough points, or help us maybe give us some guidance, but we can think for ourselves and read for ourselves and understand the book of the law of God. Now here's the effect upon the people of reading the law. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 9. Nehemiah, as we have learned, received from Artaxerxes the appointment of governor, Nehemiah 5:14. Ezra, as we have learned, was also a ready scribe in the law of Moses, Ezra 7 and verse 6. The Levites, mentioned in verse 7, caused the people to understand the law. Hence they taught the people. Nehemiah, Ezra, and these Levites said to the people, This day is holy unto Jehovah your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. The people were so impressed with the truth and the mercy of God, their sin and its retribution, that they wept and mourned. When Josiah heard the word of God from the book which Hilkiah the priest found, he rent his clothes and wept and said, "For great is the wrath of Jehovah that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of the book to do according to all that is written of us." That story is found in 2 Kings chapter 22. So the people on this occasion saw from the word of God how far they had gone from God, how terrible were their sins, and how fearful were the consequences. But in their penitence and return to God and the restoration of his pure worship, he would forgive and bless them. Hence, this was not a day of sorrow and mourning, but of joy and gladness. God had appointed this day as one of general rejoicing. You can find that in Deuteronomy 12, verses 7 and verse 12. The Jews should rejoice on this occasion because of their return from captivity, the completion of the wall around Jerusalem, the establishment of their own cities and homes, and the restoration of the worship of God, and in the mercy of God, in pardoning their sins. Nehemiah chapter 8 in verse 10, Elam writes, "Ezra told the people at the conclusion of the reading of the law on the first day, 'Instead of mourning and weeping, go to their way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto the poor for whom nothing had been prepared.' Our greatest and most lasting joy is in carrying joy and gladness to others. God commanded the Israelites to rejoice in all the good things he did for them in Deuteronomy 26:11-13. So are we commanded to rejoice always. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." And so we read these words, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of Jehovah is the joy which Jehovah gives." God had given these Jews at this time the joy of safety from their enemies, the joy of his temple and restored worship, and the joy of pardon and salvation. To rejoice in the Lord is strength, or the joy of Jehovah is indeed the stronghold of the people. But then we see that we must do as it is written. Nehemiah 8, verses 11 and 12. The people obeyed the instructions given and rejoiced because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They saw and appreciated the mercy and goodness of God, and more than ever realized what was upon them. The word of God is a source of great comfort and joy. While all the men and the women and the children did not return on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses, the leaders of the people, the priests and Levites came on that day also to Ezra to give attention to the words of the law. These probably did this of their own accord. Above all, men, these should know the word of God, that they might teach and guide the people aright. And they found written in the law that God had commanded the children of Israel to keep the feast of the tabernacles in the seventh month, and how it should be kept, Nehemiah 8, verses 13 through 15. They found all of this, now note this, written in the law, which shows that they did not know God had commanded it, especially those who were born in the captivity, and since then were ignorant of the word of God. The only way to restore the worship of God was to study his word and do that which was written therein as fast as they learned it. It is most worthy to note that everyone in an age who has ever reformed those who have wandered from God's way did so by studying God's Word and persuading the people to do as it is written therein. Hezekiah did all in his power to persuade all of Israel to worship God as it is written. He sent out teachers for this purpose, and he wrought a great reform, 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 5 and chapter 31 and verse 3. Later on, Hezekiah's great-grandson, Josiah, wrought another great reformation by persuading the people to study the Word of God and to worship Him. Here it is. As it is written, 2 Kings chapter 22 and 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Ezra and Nehemiah restored the worship of God after the long captivity by reading the Word of God to the people and inducing them to do as it is written. The only way to worship God acceptably today is to turn away from all the doctrines and commandments of men and worship Him as it is written in the New Testament. We cannot go beyond the things which are written in the New Testament and remain pleasing and acceptable to God. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 6. It warns us not to go beyond the things that are written. And then in 2 John in verse 9 we read, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teachings of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son." Every faithful and true disciple of Christ is afraid of everything in the worship of God that is not found written in the New Testament. All should study the Word of God now and do what it requires of them as fast as they learn it. So, when the people had learned that God required them to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and how to keep it, they proceeded at once to prepare to obey God. Since this feast began on the 15th day of the month, they had several days in which to prepare for it. Verse 16. Verse 17 states that in gladness this feast was kept. And verse 18 states that day by day during the feast, from the first day to the last, Ezra read the book of the law of God to the people. And that brings to a conclusion this Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote on Nehemiah chapter 8 for September 10th, 1922. And we can't help but notice how that in that lesson it is emphasized that we need to worship God as it is written. We need to live as it is written. We need to teach as it is written. And we need to worship as it is written. And if everyone would do that, we'd all teach the same things. We'd all live the same kind of life, a righteous life, a life pleasing to God. And we would all be worshiping the same way. And once again, the church would be one. And there wouldn't be all these different divided churches over all these different doctrines and all these different ways of worship and all these different lifestyles that people choose to live. There's just too many times people take what they want to do and they'll read that into the text, but it is not in the text and you can't get it out of the text. When we read about how the church in the New Testament worshiped, we read that they gathered together on the first day of the week. And while they were gathered together, they would take the Lord's Supper. A lot of churches today dispense with that and only take it at their pleasure. They gave of their means and they sang in worship. They didn't have a praise team playing guitars and beating drums and put on a show. They had the preaching of God's Word and they worshiped in this simple manner. And they would go to God in prayer. Oh, how wonderful it is to know when we gather together to worship God that we can do so as it is written. And if you want to find out how that is done, I encourage you to visit one of the churches of Christ near you. That's all the time we have. You may be dismissed.